Races they make, a mystery. A private world of fantasy fighting and hell-for-leather races, a world of secret quests and combats and encounters. If you're under 40, computer games are something like the real world, and they may well take up a large part of your life.
Your boat is now turbocharged.
Computer games are also a big, big business, a once cottage industry that's got professional fast, having shrugged off its obsessive amateur origins. America and Japan dominate the hardware side of the industry, the machines which power the games. But this is also a business where Britain has an important role, as we'll hear during this journey into the mysterious, the driven world of the business of computer games.
The video games industry is at last growing up. In the US, the video games industry alone takes more revenue than Hollywood box office.
The budgets of games have gone from being £15,000 to £50,000 to now being £2 to £3 million. It's very hard for small companies to fund that on their own.
I love coming to Britain and talking to game developers here because of the enthusiasm. Britain is very well placed to lead the charge into what I consider to be the true next generation of games.
By their very nature, video games are a private pursuit, and you don't often encounter them in public. One exception is the enormous European Interactive Entertainment Trade Exhibition called ECTS that, feeling very much an outsider, I intruded into in London earlier this month.
If you travel out of Docklands, on the Docklands Light Railway at the moment, you'll travel with a lot of men and women in black. There's a sort of uniform for the gaming business, and black is it, and I'm the only person in the entire building with a tie, and this is actually a madhouse of racing and violence and medieval warriors hacking at each other with swords and flight simulators and, race games, endless race games over and over again. This is where Europe's, the world's games players and games makers gather to try and track the latest trends in the industry and work out what's going to happen over the next few years. It's a weird, weird world of gaming, but it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
This is an expo strictly for professionals, games makers, publishers and retailers, and all the firms who supply them, hundreds of exhibitors. One of them is the British games company Rage Software, which is busy changing the British games industry from its origins in the rooms of teenagers who wanted to create games as well as play them. Rage has recently signed the footballer David Beckham, and it's building a game around him. Glenn O'Connell from Rage tells me more.
I think historically this business came from one or two guys making games in their bedroom. It's actually grown into quite a sophisticated business now where there are teams of 10, 15, 20 people, projects costing £1 million plus to develop. So the business has had to grow up very quickly and in a short space of time.
So the offices are where key individuals happen to be in the growth stage of the company.
It's a good thing about this industry is there's no one particular focus area whereby it's London or it's at another place in the country. We've got developers up in Dundee, we've got developers in Bristol, we've got developers in Birmingham, we've got head office in Liverpool, we've got a team up in Newcastle, team in Sheffield.
Because that's where they lived in the first place.
Yeah, and I think the UK industry has a lot of creativity, and the good thing is it's spread all around the UK. It's not just one particular area. There's good guys who develop in Ireland and Wales as well.
What's the big wide hope here?
Gotta be the David Beckham game. I mean, something like David Beckham soccer really gives us a chance to get out to markets maybe where computer games have never really got to. I mean, there was a BBC documentary about how internationally known David Beckham is just before the England-Germany game, and it just proves that if you have the right property, you can really take that to all around the world.
Can Rage in this up and down cyclical world survive as a separate quoted company, or is it inevitable it's gobbled up by somebody in the end?
Yes, we are a small company in some terms. We have over 230 staff in the UK, so we're probably about the third or fourth largest UK developer. But obviously we're not big in the scale of a Sony or a Microsoft, where they're almost the conglomerate to own the hardware in this business. But at the same time, the commercial pressures in this business obviously are quite strong. We're in a cyclical business which every 3 or 4 years goes through a change of technology. And if you're investing in this business, then I think a lot of people fail to understand that.
Glenn O'Connell at Rage Software, surrounded by the noise of the European Games Expo. Track down games creators to their lairs and you'll find the atmosphere altogether less distracting. I was still trying to find out what drives this business, so I went to the North London head office of the games developers Argonaut to talk to Matthew Godbolt, who joined the company 4 years ago, straight from university, to work on the software that creates the pictures on the screen. He's 25, and that happens to be the average age of the Argonaut employees.
We kind of worked together with a few people to come up with a core technology which allows the design staff and the artists to realise the things they want to be able to do, and to be able to just sketch out behaviours of objects and the creatures in the world, how they're going to behave, and express those without actually having to know how the computer works underneath the hood, as it were.
And this is your first paid job?
This is my first paid job, yes.
Yes, because you were doing a degree before.
I did a degree in physics at Exeter.
But I bet you did a lot of computing.
I spent most of my time, to be honest, in the computer lab, yes, exploring the internet and experimenting with game ideas of my own.
Because you've been gaming for years.
Yes, yeah, I've been playing games since I was 8 years old, and once I'd run out of games that I'd bought, I decided that making them would be more interesting, and I found out that that, in fact, is very rewarding and far more exciting than playing them, in fact.
How old were you when you made your first game?
Probably 12 or 13.
On what kind of computer?
That was on a Spectrum 48K, with the one with the rubber keys. Fantastic little device.
And you made it, other people played it. Was it any good, this game?
No, it was rubbish, but I must be honest. I sold about 2 copies through the back of a magazine, in fact, and sent them off, but never got any feedback.
And here you are, a few years later, in paid employment, still doing the same thing. Do not friends, acquaintances and relatives raise their eyebrows at this? Oh, he designs games for a living.
My mum's never understood why I'd want to do anything of this ilk, and my friends, well, I suppose friends of my age, they find it very interesting, far more interesting than their database programming or things like that, although we're doing pretty much the same thing. Mine's just more cool, I suppose you could say.
What's the intellectual challenge to it? There's a lot of problem solving, which a real detached outsider wouldn't expect.
The challenge for me is finding the new way of doing something, the shortcut, the way of solving a problem in a new way that no one has thought of before, that perhaps at the end of the day the person who plays the game won't notice, but they'll see just a little bit more on the screen, a few more things will happen, a bit more exciting graphics, an effect they've not seen before. And all those kind of things are challenges we find every day to be able to push the machine to its absolute limit.
And it's enjoyable still, you don't get tired of it.
I love this job still, as much as the day I joined, really. So.
Because of this problem solving on the hoof, that's the particular thing that you like so much.
Yes, I'd say, and also the satisfaction, I suppose, of having now I've been through the cycle a couple of times of walking into a shop in the high street and seeing my game on a shelf there.
Do they sell these games of yours?
They do, yes, there's a couple out there. And we've got Red Dog for the Dreamcast and the Croc games for the PlayStation and PC.
Matthew Godbolt at Argonaut Games, in an industry driven by obsessive enthusiasts. The best games are supposed to be an immersive interactive experience, pictures merging with sound and movement to complete the illusion. This is part of the soundtrack of Miss, the third version of what has been one of the best-selling games of all time. Myst is an emphatically non-violent game set in a series of magical and dreamlike worlds which the player explores, solving puzzles as he or she goes. Myst was developed by Rand Miller and his brother Robin at home in rural Washington State on the west coast of America. The other day, Rand Miller was over here for the European launch of the third version of Myst, where he told me how it all started.
The things that the Microsoft Xbox can do and let the user see them in a new way and have a fantastic experience.
The lumpy way that the video games industry grows is one of the reasons it's still a bit of a mystery to investors who might be attracted by the money it's generating. In the City of London, close to the Bank of England, Ian Stewart of a company called Seven Peaks Capital is a financier who specialises in spotting investment opportunities in new media companies.
With the timing of the launch of these platforms comes the problems of the delay in producing a game. Games are taking 2 years now. The time between platforms has started to become 2 years. It's become so tight that it's hard to be able to get to a stage where you have established platforms that are stable without the technology glitches that normally accompany launches. There are people saying now that they wish PlayStation 1 was still around because it's only now that they're able to produce a game to the maximum capabilities of that platform. Suddenly,
who's been, of course, playing computer games since he was 8.
We don't know yet who's going to win. Sony have got in there first with the PlayStation 2, so there's a lot of installed PlayStation 2s now out there. In from a technical point of view, it's a dog to work with. No one wants to touch the thing. It's not as powerful as either the GameCube and or the Xbox in terms of what it can do, but because it has the might of Sony behind it and the PlayStation 1 was such a success, maybe it'll tip the balance again in their favour.
But Microsoft are pretty hard fighters, and they say they build a box which is absolutely up every developer's street.
It's true. The Microsoft Box is a dream to work with. It's a fantastically powerful console. Microsoft are going about the right way from the developer's point of view, and they've got a large amount of cash to spend on promoting it and stuff, but it's still a Microsoft Box. And I think maybe at the end of the day, the cool factor will come in. So they've got a big barrier to overcome. Nintendo, on the other hand, with their GameCube, my personal favourite, very much game-oriented. Everything's got to be fun. It looks fun. It's toy-like, one could say, but that again counts against it because your discerning clubber isn't going to come back and play with something which looks like it's not out of place in a Fisher-Price catalogue. I haven't really made my mind up on yet myself. I mean, as I say, Nintendo would win it for me because their games are fantastic, but then you've got the power of the Xbox or perhaps the ubiquity of the PlayStation 2. It's not going to be an easy decision to make.
These aren't just toys, these games, and the industry is built on more than the fantasies it peddles. But it's a business at a fascinating stage, because it's still growing up.
Peter Day, the producer of In Business with Harshad Mistry. Next week's programme flicks through the pages of the magazine industry, a world full of lads, celebs, and the next big thing.